John chapter 4, I would invite you to open again in your Bibles that which we read just a little earlier on. We've entitled our message tonight, An Unexpected Sower. With God's Word open before us, just let's seek the Lord for needed help as we come to preach His Word. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for Thy presence with us. We dare not take that for granted. The presence of the Lord makes the feast. We thank Thee for the old hymns of Zion we've been singing. We thank the Lord for the redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Lord, for some soul that has taken the hymn book and has sang those words, yet, Lord, have never experienced it. May this be the night. May this be the very hour that the Lord will meet with them. O God, we pray to that end Thou would shut out every distraction. Shut us, Lord, in with Thyself. Bring us, Lord, into this passage. O God, I pray that Thou would speak through us. I pray, Lord, to that end Thou would fill us with Thy Spirit and with power. O God, help me, Lord, to preach as thus. And thus saith the Lord. O hear our prayer. Give me words, Lord, that will prevail. Christ will be exalted afar above all this evening. We pray these things in Jesus' name. The Savior was often found to use the analogy of the natural harvest to express spiritual truths. There is, of course, the much-read parable of the sower. And while the seed is the same, of course, the types of ground on which the seed was sown was different. And hence, there's a difference in the harvest that is reaped. There was four different types of soil represent the different hearts that sit under and receive the word of the everlasting gospel, which is the precious seed of God's word. And men and women, young person, it is a very solemn and sobering thought that only one out of the four receive it to the salvation of their souls and bear forth fruit in evidence of that. Only one. And when we come to John chapter 4, you will notice again that the Lord is found to be having and using the same theme. He has the same theme in mind when He says to His disciples in verse 35, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And in the context, what I believe the Savior was referring to and what He encouraged His disciples to look at there were the droves of people who were now coming out of the village, and they were making their way to where the Lord was. We know from the opening verses of this chapter that the Savior, during what was the early part of His ministry, was making His way into the area known as Galilee. But in doing so, He was to do something that the Jews wouldn't do, and that was go through Samaria. He didn't circumvent the land, cross over the Jordan a couple of times, and land in the area, but He went straight through Samaria. Old prejudices were set aside, for understand that verse 4 states, He must needs go through Samaria. And the place in particular where He was to come to was Sychar. And Sychar has the meaning of purchased. And to a well that was situated there in the valley below, known as Jacob's Well. And while we have mentioned need of other wells in the Scriptures, for example, you can think of Abraham's servant. He was to woo the heart of Rebekah to return with him to be the wife of his master's son. Or indeed you can think of Jacob at the well of Haran, where he set his eyes upon Rachel and he was to win her heart to be his wife. Yet here the Savior meets with an unusual woman whose heart and soul will be drawn out after him. And further we read into this passage, and the more we begin to understand that full meaning of verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. You see, this was no chance meeting. This was no coincidence of meeting with this woman at the well, but rather it was something that was in the eternal plan of the Lord God, for this was a meeting which meant that this unsuspected sower of the gospel going back into her city, which resulted in many of them coming to the Savior, and hence the reason why he described the fields to his disciples as white already unto harvest. That's the background. The message that she sowed in her city is my text tonight. The words of verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? That's the message that this woman spoke. Now if we break that text up, we see first of all there the invitation. You want to see a missionary's zeal in its fair infancy, then you've got to go no further than look at this Samaritan woman. For having found Christ herself, she then had the desire to invite others to be acquainted to him and with him. And noticing the opening words of our text, you'll see that the invitation is simple. The smallest child tonight in the house of God will understand the words that were said unto them. And verse 28 indicates to us who the them were. They were the men. What did she say? She said, come and see. That's it. Come and see. And isn't that significant? It could have been the men who were in authority in the city, and thereby they would have been found maybe sitting at the city gate. Or it may have been the men whom she knew and would have met in the streets. But to these men, she issued this simple invitation, just come and see. She doesn't enter into an argument. She simply says, come and see. And in doing so, it could be said that she is an illustration in herself of Revelation 22 and verse 17. And let him that heareth say, come. Here's a woman who had heard, and now she says, come. Come and see. You'll note that she does not say, go and see. For the reason being, she intends to accompany them so that she could have more communion and she could have more grace from him. She already had been in this presence of this man already, and she has a desire to be in his company again, and thereby her invitation says, come and see. Dear people, it is often the simple invitations that are the most effective way of dealing with the souls of men and women. It is not, of course, the first time that we come across this in the Scriptures, where you will recall Philip. And he goes and he seeks to tell his friend Nathanael that they had found the Messiah, and he desires that he too would see him. And you know, Nathanael has doubts in his mind after Philip speaks of Jesus of Nazareth, and he has doubts about anyone coming out of that place. And he says, can any good come out of Nazareth? And Philip's simple reply is, come and see. If you'd only come, if you'd only looked at him, if you'd only see him, then it will dispel all your doubts and fears. And the language that Philip used was also the language that the Savior himself was to use for his preaching in the cities after that. The same thought is brought out. For his words of invitation are found in Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Aye, and look even no further in this very chapter, and you see what the Lord says to this woman by the well. Verse 16, we're coming back to it now, but just look at it for a moment. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband, and come hither. Just come. Dear sinner, the Savior is yet issuing the same simple invitation for you to come tonight. There's no baggage attached. You must simply come unto Christ. You can't clean up your life first. You can't reform your life and then come. You see, those things you cannot do of yourself. You must come just as you are. That's why I believe the Lord said in Matthew 18 verse 3, and he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. A child, when they come to saving faith, there's no baggage with their life. They simply come in childlike faith. Boys and girls can be saved, praise God, for those who have been saved already this year. And listen, adult, you've got to come just in the same way. You just come as you are. The invitation extended to come see a man indicates that it would be satisfying. For that is what this woman now was. You'll carefully note the words of verse 28. It says, the woman then left her water pot and she went her way. The very chief and the only reason why she had come to the well was to get the water, and yet she leaves it behind her in order that she might with haste tell others of the one whom she had met. And that water pot was left behind because she is so taken up with Christ. She has been satisfied that she forgets all about her earthly need and what it had been. Oh, like the hymn writer puts it, the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and of His grace. And as the disciples had left in some cases the nets, and in other cases they had left their business behind, and in other cases they had left their father and their friends and their family, here is a woman, and she left her water pot so that she might go and tell others the good news on her soul. She had come to the well for some physical water from which she would thirst again. But she went away having drank of that water from which she would never thirst. She was satisfied with the everlasting spring and well of God's salvation. Tell me tonight, have you tasted and seen that the Lord indeed is good? Can you say tonight, preacher, I am satisfied with Christ? I'm satisfied tonight, and that can only be so if you have Christ as Savior, for none but Christ can satisfy. Maybe I'm still preaching to someone tonight, and it could be true of you, you're still seeking to try the broken cisterns of this old world where the waters will fail you. I wonder, will you leave it all behind? I wonder, will you leave this house satisfied, having found Christ, and Christ having found you? I tell you, this invitation was sincere. There had been a change wrought in the life and in the heart of this Samaritan woman. That work was the work of God's grace. I believe this woman was a type that didn't like too many people to see her, and we will consider why that was in a moment. But having met with Christ, you look at the difference now as she makes her way back into the city and she gives others the invitation to come and to see this man. You see, when God does a work in the heart, you'll want to tell others. You'll want to share it with them. And here is a woman testifying to that end, for she invites him and she invites others to come and to see this man Christ. That is also the sincere invitation that is issued to your heart tonight. And the sincere prayer of many a loved one of yours, that you would come and see Christ as you have never seen Him before. you would come tonight. This preacher extends the invitation. I don't invite you to a set of rules. I don't invite you to a denomination or a church. I don't invite you even to ordinances. I invite you to the person of Christ. Come and see this man. But you know, not only is there the invitation, but there's a revelation. The change that had been wrought in the heart of this Samaritan woman is all the more evident when we hear what else she has to say to the men in the city. Come and see a man that told me all things that ever I did. She was to have a revelation. And please note that that revelation first and foremost is of her sin. For that is what we read of how the Lord spoke to her in verse 16. I said to you, I've come back there. Jesus said unto her, you see, she's interested. She says in verse 15, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now she doesn't understand what he is speaking about. But Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. Up until this time, she shows an ignorance of the message of the gospel as the Lord spoke it of in terms of the living water. It seems that she is comparatively unmoved by it all. That is, until the Lord exposed her sin. And she was particularly guilty of the seventh commandment being broken. Of breaking the seventh commandment. And if there ever was a circumstance in this woman's life that she didn't want to have to face up to, then it was what the Lord said when he said this, go and call thy husband. And what follows is an honest answer. For at that time, she had no husband, but she was living with another man, and the Lord knew all about it. Verse 18, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. Be sure your sin will find you out. And here's a woman, and it has found her out now. For this was a woman, I suggest to you, that was found at the well at this time. Why? Because of her sin. You see it? You see, we're told what time of the day she was at the well. You come back to the words of verse 6, it says there concerning the Lord's arrival. He says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. The sixth hour was midday. That was the very time when the sun was at its height and when it would be the most difficult time to carry any burden, any distance. And yet here was a woman preparing to carry her water pot full of water back into the city. Why did she come out at midday? Why did she come out at the sixth hour? Because she was a sinner. And she was a sinner who was well known, especially by the men in the city. And for the purpose of avoiding the other women, and for the purpose of avoiding shame, and even being slander received by them, she stays away until that hour that she chose to go out expecting no one else to be there. But in the plan of God, that was the very time when Christ would meet with her, and ere she would receive him as Savior, she had to see the vileness of her sin. And her sin is revealed unto her. Her impurity is brought before her. Her heart and conscience smote her when the Lord asked about her husband. And maybe for the first time in her life, she's brought to feel that her sin has been discovered. And dear people, that must be revealed to your heart if any good is to be done for your soul. The sinner must first see their sin for what it is. They must recognize how they stand undone before a thrice holy God. Until a soul is brought to see their sinfulness, they will never recognize their need. And if they don't see themselves as the Lord sees them, then they will carelessly go on their way. They're going unmoved and unconcerned about a lost eternity. You will never desire the medicine of the gospel applied to your soul until you feel your disease called sin. You'll not see any beauty in Christ as the only Savior and the remedy for sin until the Lord in mercy reveals that you're a lost and a ruined soul. And that's where the Lord started with this woman. Go and call thy husband dear and come hither. You see also the scope of this revelation. Her words back in the city were of the one who told her, listen to this now, who told her all things that ever I did. What a truth to be reminded of. The Lord sees all things and He knows all things. Hebrews 4 verse 13 says this, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He was able to tell this woman that she had no husband. She had already had gone through five husbands, and that this one was not her husband at all. She was living in sin. The first time that this woman had a meeting with the Savior, and it's obvious that He knew everything about her. And do you notice how uncomfortable she feels? And she tries to deflect the conversation onto something else, but she only succeeds in digging a deeper hole, for she speaks of worship. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Not only was she an adulterer, but she now has a background of idolatry. And the Lord is able to say in verse 22 to her, ye worship ye know not what. You see, men and women, He told her all things that ever she did. You see, if the Lord was to reveal all things that ever you did, and they were to be written up in the back of the wall here, would you not blush? Would you not be ashamed? But oh, dear sinner, listen, there's the day of accountability, and all your life will be rolled out before you for all to see. What then? And yet while the Lord spoke to her of true worship, and this is an important passage to do with that as well, He implies that He was the one who came to seek and to save. You look at verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. That's why He came. That's why He came to the cross. That's why He laid aside the glory He had with the Father. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He is still seeking in the gospel tonight. We're still in the means and in the day of God's grace, where He is seeking out souls unto Himself. Or understand that the revelation given to this woman was not only of her sin, and was not only of the scope of her sin, but it was of the Savior. Revelation, you see, doesn't stop with her sin and her entire life and what it comprised of. You look at verse 26, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. This woman had heard something and knew something of the Scriptures. She knew a little bit about Jacob, for she mentions him and the well. And in verse 25, she says, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. She knew something of the Old Testament scriptures and what they promised. There was a Messiah to come and he would be heard. And the Lord standing before her reveals himself to her. If I can paraphrase it, I am he. I am the Messiah. The long awaited and the long promised Savior was the one who stood before her. The one who knew everything about her was also the one who could heal her sin-sick soul. And that is the Christ that we will uplift and we will present before you in the gospel tonight. For he is the only hope of your soul. He's the only Savior of a lost mankind. He's the only one that can save you from your sin. For he alone was to pay the price for our sin, as he was to lay down his life there on the cross of Calvary. Here, sinner, what your sin deserves was laid on Christ. It was paid by Christ. He finished the work. And that's the greatest revelation that you can have tonight. There's a one who can save you. The one who can redeem you, one who can pardon you from all your sin through his own precious blood and the finished work of Calvary's cross. But oh, what are you going to do with that revelation? The revelation that this woman had. And you know, there's something else in her text. And that's a declaration. We're looking in her text. We're looking at what this woman said to the man back in the city. You notice how it ends? Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? This one which is hesitant. What I mean by that is the manner in which he states these words. Understand there are various ways in the Greek original in which the question can be formed and a question can be asked. Much the same as, of course, it is in English. You can ask a question expecting the answer to be yes. You're going to that shop tomorrow, aren't you? You can ask a question expecting the answer to be no. And you can ask a question with a hesitant manner. By any chance, is that your car out there? And that's the manner in which she asked the question. It could be rendered like this, literally. Is this perchance the Christ? And the reason that she does so is so as not to appear assertive. After all, here's a woman who had no testimony for good in the town, never mind seeking souls for Christ. And being forceful, there could have been those men who would have thought and said, why would we ever listen to anything she says? Sure we know what sort of woman she is. But she asks it in such a way that arouses their minds and encourages them to inquire and to judge for themselves by going out to see him. By any chance, is this the Christ? But while she wasn't brash in her asking, it nevertheless was an honest declaration, for this is what she truly believed. She had heard enough to be sure this was the Christ. She had known the power of his word to her soul. This was the promised Messiah that was to come. There's no man who ever talked to her like this before. While the Savior didn't care for her sin, and that's why it had to be dealt with, yet he cared for her soul. She was a sinner who needed Christ. And that was the day in which he found her and he saved her. And oh, what matchless grace that reached her and changed her from being a sinful soul to being a seeking missionary. I wonder, will you make such an honest declaration tonight? This is my Lord and this is my Savior. I would that you would come and you would also find him to be so. For you see, her declaration was one which was heeded. We see in verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. Her message had an impact on the hearts of the men. And one wonders where her husband's found in that great number. For not only did they heed her word and go out to Christ, and thereby Christ encourages his disciples to lift up their eyes and to look in the fields, for they're white already on the harvest. There was this group of people, this group of men, and they were coming out of the village and they were heading towards them. And they were to go out and they were to hear his word themselves. And it was a means of bringing many of them to a saving knowledge of him. You see, verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. She was an unexpected and an unlikely sower of the gospel seed, but yet she had the joy of reaping for the Lord. When the men saw and when the men heard the Lord, you know, there's only one desire. And that was that he would stay with them. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. Oh, what a blessed 2 days that was. To have the Lord, the Savior, residing with them in that Samaritan village or city for 2 days. For 2 days to hear him preach the whole counsel of God. For 2 days to sit on his feet and to be instructed by the Prince of Preachers. What a blessed 2 days. And many were seen. And you see, their declaration goes beyond that of the Samaritan woman. For they said at the end of verse 32, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. What comfort that is. For you see, he wasn't only the Savior of the Jews. He had come to save the Samaritans. He had come to save the Gentiles as well. And that includes you tonight. For I don't think any of you are Jews. You're Gentile. He would die on that cross for all types of sinners. And in glory one day they shall be gathered from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and people, and nation. And you know the woman was still there. Verse 42 makes that clear and plain. And they said unto the woman, she's still there. And that she is a glorious testimony to that. He's the Savior of the world. I wonder, sinner, will you heed his word tonight? Will you come and be saved? You've heard his invitation many a time before. And God in his grace is extending it again to your heart. By faith these men and this Samaritan woman accepted Christ as a Savior. Will you exercise saving faith tonight in the person and the work of the only Redeemer and the only Savior, and you too then can go forth sowing the seed of the gospel? sowing that seed of His Word to the salvation of precious souls. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? He knows your heart tonight. He knows what you're reveling in your sin. His is the all-seeing eye. You can't hide from God. And yet He comes in mercy and He reveals Himself unto you. And He reveals Himself as your only hope and the only Savior that can pardon you and make you fit for heaven. Will you come and behold Him tonight and accept Him as Savior? May God help you to do so. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts this evening for His own name's sake. 268, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon thy breast. Let's stand as we sing this wee hymn. 268. As God's servant for your sake, we invite you, come to Christ and be saved. Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence in our midst tonight. Thank the Lord for this solemn word. O God, we bless Thee for the message that this woman took back into her city. Lord, we thank Thee for the change that was wrought in her life. God, Thou canst do the same work tonight. Thou canst wrought the same change in an old sinner's heart. We pray in the closing seconds of this meeting, Thy Spirit would apply the word to the salvation of a precious soul. O God, speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. One tonight might come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Part us with Thy fear, and in Thy favor, watch over us, for we ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen.